We nearly finished a really nice section yesterday evening, describing the two potencies that were preventing Mother Yasoda from binding Krishna, and the one potency that superseded those two. And his Kripa Shakti superseded. So we're going to finish that section this morning, chapter 9, text 18. I'll read the verse, and then we'll move on to the next verse, 19. The translation reads 10:9:18. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When Child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Now, what this is, the commentary is a little essay someone wrote, nice Vaishnav, touching on this topic. You'll recognize these messages. In Bhagavad Gita 7:14, the Lord tells us that other than by surrendering to him, there is no alternative way of overcoming his divine energy made of the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance. The mind is easily distracted and flickering, but the Lord is the controlling deity of the mind, and he himself attracts all minds. He quotes the verb root krish refers to the action of attracting, while the suffix na means supreme joy. The supreme Brahman has been given the name Krishna because he embodies the combination of these two meanings. Question: how then can any of us find a place at the Lord's lotus feet if he himself does not drag us there? Right, the mercy part, right? The mercy part. If he doesn't drag us there, then what's their hope? Mother Yashoda once became angry with baby Krishna and decided to punish him by tying him to a mortar. To her chagrin, she found that the rope was always 2 inches too short, or 2 fingers too short. After making repeated efforts and failing each time, Krishna finally became merciful to her and allowed himself to be tied up. Vishwanath Chakravarti explains the symbolism of Krishna bound by a rope as follows. Quote, two things are necessary before the Lord can be bound by a devotee. One, the devotee must put great effort into his worship. And two, there must be mercy on the part of the Lord upon seeing such efforts. This mercy of the Lord is the most powerful of his energies, which is part of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse 18. I'll read it again. The mercy of the Lord is the most powerful of his energies. Without the combination of the devotee's effort and the Lord's mercy, the rope that binds him will always be 2 inches short. The Lord again speaks of the effort, yatna, effort, yatna, required to attain him in verse 9:14 of Bhagavad Gita. Here's the yatna, yatantas chadridha vrata, 9:14. You can look it up later, 9:14. Yatna, effort. In his commentary, Vishwanath elaborates on the nature of this effort as follows. Quote, interesting. Just as poverty-stricken householders go to rich men's doors to obtain money for their family's maintenance, my devotees go to the assembly of surrendered devotees with the sole intention of collecting treasures of devotional service, such as chanting, from them. On acquiring the science of bhakti, they begin to repeatedly practice the tenets of bhakti yoga, just like a student trying to learn by rote, R-O-T-E. Rote means like memorization. Like when you're learning to play a musical instrument like harmonium. So it's awkward, or learning to drive a car, or those are motor skills, but you know, even subtler skills, how to speak nicely. It's a little, you know, awkward if you're has other tendencies. Anyway, so we go to those who are elevated personalities for their mercy, which is Krishna's mercy. Paragraph. Vishwanath further explains. So that was about effort and mercy. Vishwanath further explains the nature of the devotee's resolution, or dhritavrata, to practice devotional service. I resolve to daily chant a fixed number of rounds of the holy name on my beads and to offer a fixed number of prostrated obeisances to the Lord and the Vaishnavas. I resolve to regularly do such and such a service. I will maintain my unfailing determination to keep a Ekadasi fast and other vows. I will pay special attention to controlling my senses. Unquote. The Lord helps those who help themselves. When a devotee makes a vow, the Lord helps him maintain his vow. The bhakti yogi must put aside pride in his own willpower and understand all his efforts to be totally dependent on the mercy of Guru, the Vaishnavas, and the Lord. Such a person will soon achieve success. So now we're moving on to text 19, where Shukadeva Goswami is narrating. Again, it's one of these verses that has philosophy, and there's a billion pages of explanation of the philosophy. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit, the entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. What's that? He comes under the control of his devotees. And then we're going to hear it's a little different than that. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. The Prabhupada's purport. The pastime of Krishna is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said from the 11th chapter of Canto 10, Darshayams tad vidam loka atmano bhakta vashyatam. That is, the Lord displays transcendental attributes of coming under the control of his devotees. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.35, Ekopyaso rachayatam jagadanda kotim yachchakti asti jagadanda chayayadantaha andantarasa paramanu chayantarastam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Pajami. Now, usually Prabhupada would give a word, you know, literal translation, but he paraphrases or summarizes. By his one plenary portion, as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods, yet he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated, and Mother Jasoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter, like one who is poverty-stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna, yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee, but a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, semicolon, it is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. Listen carefully, I'll read it twice. This Britya Vashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. Here it goes again. This Britya Vashyata, from the verse, does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. In Bhagavad Gita 1:21, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senayor Ubayor Madhye Ratam Stapaye Mejuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Please place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore one may argue that Krishna is also not independent. But this is one's ajnana or ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of ananda chinmaya rasa, or the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. And following that is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Though he possesses all possible powers, the Lord, being controlled by prema is bound up. This bondage, however, being the most astonishing aspect of the Lord, becomes his ornament, not his fault. The Lord, by his very sweet nature, though self-contented Atmaram, suffers from hunger. Though he is full in all his desires, he becomes dissatisfied. Though he is the form of pure goodness, he becomes angry. Though he is the master of Lakshmi and Vaikuntha, he steals. Though he instills fear through time and death, he flees in fear. Though he travels quickly on the vehicle of the mind, he is caught by the strong grasp of his mother. Though he is condensed bliss, he cries in sorrow. Though he is all-pervading without limit, he is limited by being tied up. In all these incidents, Krishna was revealing directly to Yashoda his innate quality of being controlled by the devotee. Radha, you caught that one? Because this was one of your questions. I'll read the sentence again. This is about the contradictions. In all these incidents, Krishna was revealing directly to Yashoda his innate quality of being controlled by the devotee. Paragraph. All of this cannot be explained as simply an act or imitation performed by Krishna. Such explanations have no proof to support them and arise from ignorance. Brahma Shiva and Sanat Kumar realized this and were truly astonished. In Bhagavatam 10.11.9, it is said, Krishna in this universe shows his nature of dependence on the devotee to the devotees, tainted with gyan, such as Lord Brahma. Unquote. Final paragraph. The Lord is independent, sva vashena. Though the Lord is independent, where do we see his independence? In his control of the universe and the devas, yasya idam sheshvaram vashe. That's his independence. It is through prema, the essence of chit shakti, that being controlled by the devotee arises, and this gives rise to the Lord's highest bliss that has been explained previously. That was Vishwanath. And we'll continue this evening, I guess. So here we go again. These apparent contradictions. Now, we discussed the apparent contradictions in a few different ways previously. One of them is when it says he's not this, it means he's not the material this. When it says he's that, he's the spiritual that. And when the this and the that have the same names, that's how we're to understand. And he does both simultaneously by his inconceivable potencies. So we also heard that explanation. And now we're hearing an explanation that by these, at least by the particular examples cited by Vishwanath, Krishna is showing Mother Jasoda and showing us that he's controlled by love. So controlled by love means, just like in this particular pastime, he couldn't be bound and he couldn't be bound, he couldn't be bound, and then he could be bound. He couldn't be bound for reasons mentioned, and he could be bound for reasons mentioned. So the binding is Krishna's controlled by love. Or, yeah, he's not controlled by the devotee, he's controlled by the love of the devotee. So that's good news, isn't it? What's the good news? Krishna is the independent controller. He can't be controlled. And then the other good news is, if one can come to the stage of pure love, then Krishna loves that love or reciprocates with that love in such a way he submits himself or he reciprocates in kind with that love. He becomes the dearmost beloved who isn't interested in his own matters, but he's interested in the one who loves him. And yet the one who loves him may not get what they want. Like the question yesterday that was asked, if we pray to Krishna for stuff and it doesn't happen, is he withholding his mercy? He was withholding his mercy with Mother Yashoda so that her prema would increase and increase and increase. Parishrama, the effort, was increasing, increasing. It's different but similar when Hanuman was searching for Sita, couldn't find Sita, and couldn't find Sita, and he became filled with despair. I failed. Ram sent me on this mission. He empowered me to fulfill the mission. And I failed. That feeling wasn't long-lasting because he understood I must. And so he continued because of that determination. Or Srila Prabhupada coming to the West. It wasn't happening. There's so many obstacles. The detail of the P form, that in addition to his being granted a visa, I don't know what a P form is, but you can't leave the country to go to another country without a P form. Anyway, he got the P form, and he wasn't getting it, and he wasn't getting it, and he wasn't getting it. We just heard a really nice description of Prabhupada wanting, because Bhaktisiddhanta wanted, to establish a temple in London. And the devotees went, and by Krishna's mercy, they rented a storefront. I think it was rented, Bury Place, not purchased, because they didn't have money. And then Prabhupada wanted deities. He wanted Radha Krishna deities. And where are you going to get Radha Krishna deities? They didn't have money. And he wanted it by such and such time. And so they used their creativity and they started asking all the Indian families, do you know where there's Radha Krishna deities? It's a long story. Finally, someone came forward saying, I have Radha Krishna deities. And so they went to visit his home. They saw the Radha Krishna deities and took them to the room, pulled back the there was a cloth covering them, and it showed them. And they were stunned how beautiful they were. And would you be able to receive them as a gift? And they asked, can we bring our spiritual master to see? So anyway, this is a nice story. Prabhupada feigned indifference. He just talked to the man and talked to his wife and talked to the kids and totally indifferent, said, man, you know, do you want to see the deities? Oh, we can see the deities. He removed the cloth. Okay. Went back and continued the conversation. Like, totally detached. And then the man brought the subject up again. And Prabhupada said something like, okay, we can accept, and indicated to the two disciples with him, go there. No, first it was, let's see how heavy they are. So one picked up one deity, the other picked up the other deity. Not so heavy, Prabhupada. Okay, we'll accept them. And off they went out the door, the man following behind him. You know, apparently he wanted something, money or something. But, you know, Prabhupada was accepting the gesture. And then they got in the van, the man's it's standing outside the van and, you know, with his wife and Swamiji, and let's go. And so they pulled around the corner and Prabhupada said, stop the van. And he removed the cloth and started offering prayers to the deity. It was a heist. But he was very determined, Krishna reciprocated. And the way in which Krishna reciprocated was very interesting. But Krishna reciprocated. And Prabhupada knew how to handle Krishna's reciprocation very expertly because they didn't have money. They could have made a promise to the man or something, but whatever. Prabhupada was a transcendentalist. And when the transcendentalist is determined, then mercy will come. That's how the Hare Krishna movement spread. And that's how the Hare Krishna movement will continue to spread. It doesn't spread by complacency. It spreads by understanding the intention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. And of course, spreading is not everything. Those who receive have to be trained. And so there's so many activities involved in training. But the extending of mercy is at the heart. The extending, the devotee is the distributor of Krishna. And that means Krishna's mercy. And to be a distributor of Krishna's mercy, you have to be a recipient of Krishna's mercy. So one should be always eager for Krishna's mercy, even when trying to, whatever it is, trying to distribute books or trying to find a deity for the London Temple or whatever it is. And there's obstacles and obstacles, and one stays focused on the mission, and despite the obstacles, one perseveres, Krishna sees, and Krishna reciprocates in his own way, in his own time. And faith is of the devotee is nourished not just when some reciprocation comes. Rather, faith is nourished by the sense of connectivity, whether the reciprocation comes or not, whether the result comes or not. We are results oriented, but the result is not the determining factor of whether Krishna is satisfied or not. Krishna was satisfied by Mother Jasoda's love, and that love was increasing. And that love was, that which is unlimited, was increasing, increasing, increasing. Seeing her labor, he reciprocated in a particular way. And same for us. The application is, this is a principle of bhakti that's important for us to understand, whatever our position, whatever our stage of spiritual development is. Let's see if there's some discussion on these topics.
I have only one question, which is about Ekadashi. Can we, instead of saying every day we do Ekadashi, can we say, like, every other day, or every other day, or every 2 days, or every 3 days, instead of every day? No, I mean every time there is Ekadashi.
He's asking whether somebody could do alternative
Ekadashi. Do you have a problem with Ekadashi? Is it difficult for you?
Yeah, very difficult.
Well, find a way that it's not difficult. If the difficulty is I don't like Sabudana, find something that you like, because there's so many things.
I know, but usually most of those things contain kinva or sabudana.
Okay, so find something that you like and do that. Find something that you like.
We never make anything.
Find something that you like and do that. Don't take grains on Ekadasi.
Okay.
Find something that works and you do that. Okay, what else?
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Maharaj, I like that point about setting aside one's tendency to think that it is happening by my willpower rather than depending on Krishna's mercy. Because in the same verse that you quoted, that 9.14, that yatantascha dridavrata. So dridavrata has the element of one is determined to do something for the pleasure of Krishna.
Mm.
And one is endeavoring very hard with determination. So within that, one can easily think that I am determined to do it, and
yes,
therefore I am, it's happening by my willpower, by my efforts.
Yes.
But that effort itself has to be kind of executed, being conscious that I'm fully dependent on Krishna's mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we actually not fall into that trap where one is not conscious, because it's very easy to lapse into that mode that, okay, I'm determined.
Well, it requires purity. My very simple understanding, very simplistic, is it starts in your bead bag. How you chant. The consciousness with which you try to... If you don't try to improve chanting, you won't. I mean, it'll be really, really, really slow. So purification comes, but it's really slow. And if one wants, then you'll run into the doing consciousness. And it's not satisfying, and the mind wanders, and the mind isn't captured. So it starts with the answer to my response to your question is it starts with chanting, and then to the extent that that primary means of deliverance is done nicely, then we can have some tools or some shakti to stay with it in when you're doing practical activities throughout the day. And day after day after day passes and we're doing our chanting, we're doing our practical activity. See, the combination, it's through proper chanting. And proper chanting certainly is assisted by scripture study. That's my answer. It's not easy, it's gradual. There's the method. And then repeat every day by cultivation a proper mood of chanting.
The subtle point is that even when we talk about effort and mercy, even embedded within the effort is the dependence.
I understand your question. The effort has a component of false ego. I'm doing. I understand. You have to start somewhere. So we start where we are and then be aware of where we want to go. And how do you get to where you want to go? This is what your question is. One of the special effects of chanting, and one of the reasons why it's difficult for people who find difficulty in chanting or being attentive when chanting, is it's too simple. Or as Rabindra Sarup puts it, there's three things. There's the name, there's you, and there's the mind. And so the mind carries these conceptions, and so that's the battleground. And it's easier to not do a battle, so I don't chant, or I chant distractedly, and that's about it, and coast along. If one wants to go beyond this subtle point of effort that's not embedded with false ego, I'm going to make the effort, I'm the doer. The best means to overcome that is by proper chanting. Chanting and proper chanting is the best means. And otherwise, if one doesn't do that, it's a slow process. Or you can say, how many births of not achieving that objective, but staying in the, driven by false ego, that's not very inviting option. But it's the default position. If we don't, that's what happens.
another point that you mentioned that was in the context of preaching, that we cannot do this extension of Lord Chaitanya's mercy if we succumb to complacency.
Mm.
I find from my experience that many times our failure also has to do with not being aware of the environmental factors and not having a strategic approach to the whole outreach activity. So one may not be complacent, but then one may not be attuned to what is necessary to...
Well, Krishna gives that intelligence in course of time. Because we want to make offerings to Krishna. And if you go out into the forest and look for flowers, you may not find flowers to offer to Krishna, so you have to go to gardens instead of the forest. So, driven by bhakti, in other words, make offerings to Krishna, and Krishna gives intelligence. It's easy to say, but that's the principle. You know, applying the principle is another thing, but that's the principle. The bhakti drives preaching.
Okay.
Online, anything?
One question online.
Okay.
From Amaramataji, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. If some desire is not granted and presented with multiple obstacles, even if it involves...
If some desire...
is not granted.
If some desire is not granted, okay.
And one is presented with multiple obstacles, even if it involves service to Krishna, should a devotee try to see it as some plan of Krishna and stop endeavoring or continue this effort with same understanding that it is some plan of Krishna?
Well, there's other options besides those two also. There's many things that one might do. One might pause, one might consider, maybe the approach is not right, maybe the time is not right, maybe Krishna, maybe, there's many maybes. But if you have a purpose, that's Krishna's purpose, you don't trash it.
One more question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is from Akshay Prabhu. So if one has received the mercy in his life by receiving devotee association, deities, and even a spiritual master, but is still doing offensive activities, okay, continued in the next message, but it's not popped up yet. Okay. Okay, it popped up now. So he's still doing offensive activities. It feels hopeless at times when such obstacles come that are offensive to spiritual practices. What should one do or tell oneself to keep on going?
Patience. Utsaha nishchaya daryat. That's what one should do. Read that section from Nectar of Instruction. That's what you do. Okay. One more? Yeah, get up. Don't make him get up.
This is about the explanation of Prabhupada's disciples working to install the Radha Krishna Temple in London. They worked hard a lot, and the movement was really good over there. So
it was just new. It was great, but it was new.
Yeah. How can we help a Prabhupada's movement like that?
How can we help in Prabhupada's movement like that?
Determined. Quoting something else that Tamal Krishnamurti said in this like memories video. he was commenting to some well-educated VIP type of person who was commenting that your disciples don't know Sanskrit. And they can't read it and they can't pronounce it properly. So Prabhupada replied two things. He said, where does it say in scripture that you, to go back to Godhead you have to know Sanskrit? Where is the scriptural reference? And then Prabhupada backed off and said something like, there are many shortcomings that these persons have, and I recognize, but there's one thing, whatever I want, they will follow it. That is their one qualification. So anyway, what, of course, the what Prabhupada wanted was their best interest. So their loyalty to Prabhupada's instruction, no matter what, was the gift that helped those persons that were not qualified to become qualified and to be able to do things for the mission that otherwise wouldn't have happened. So that's the criterion. Taking this, you know this from Bhagavad Gita, taking the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. That's, you can look it up later, 241 Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasayatmika Bhuti. The key, or he says, the secret. So now it's a disclosed secret. Taking the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. That's what Prabhupada did, and those who were able to assist him, even despite all obstacles, that singular quality. Okay.
Yeah, when you said that, I was thinking about the story of and Jay.
Story of what?
Of Prabhupada trying to install deities in Juhu Temple, I think. To install Juhu Temple.
There were many. Yeah. That was one. Huh? Yeah, the battle with Mr. Nair.
Yeah.
Yeah. The deities were there anyway. Yes, it was a long battle. He called it Kurukshetra. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.